Nasta prayesha vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Okay, it is 9:18. Okay. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 9, text 18. Tadarshanalada pariplutanter taro. Rishyatanu prema varashru lochanaha. Nanama padambujam asya vishvasrig. Yat paramaham siena patadigam yate. Tadarshanalada pariplutantaro. Rishyatanu prema varashru lochana. Nanama padambujam asya vishvasrig. Yat paramaham siena patadigam yate. Ladies, that by that audience of the Lord, Darshana, audience, Alada, joy, Paripluta, overwhelmed, Antara, within the heart, Rishyat, full in ecstasy, Tanu, body, Prema Bhara, in full transcendental love, Ashru, tears, Lochana, in the eyes, Nanama, bow it down, Pada Ambujam, under the lotus feet, Asya of the Lord, Vishvasrik, the creator of the universe, Yat, which, Paramahamsyena, by the great liberated soul, Pata, the path, Adigamyate, is followed. Translation, Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart, and thus in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love. He thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa. Purport. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that this great literature is meant for the Paramahamsas. Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for persons completely free from malice. In the conditioned life, the malicious life begins from the top, namely bearing malice against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Personality of Godhead is an established fact in all revealed scriptures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the personal feature of the Supreme Lord is especially mentioned. So much so that the last portion of the great literature has emphatically stressed that one should surrender unto the Personality of Godhead to be saved from the miseries of life. Unfortunately, persons with impious backgrounds do not believe in the Personality of Godhead, and everyone wants to become God himself without any qualification. This malicious nature in the conditioned soul continues even up to the stage when a person wants to be one with the Lord, and thus even the greatest of the empiric philosophers speculating on becoming one with the Supreme Lord cannot become a Paramahamsa because the malicious mind is there. Therefore, the Paramahamsa stage of life can be attained only by those who are fixed in the practice of Bhakti Yoga. This Bhakti Yoga begins if a person has the firm conviction that simply discharging devotional service to the Lord in full transcendental love can elevate him to the highest perfectional stage of life. Brahmaji believed in this art of Bhakti Yoga. He believed in the instruction of the Lord to execute tapa. And he discharged the function with great penance and thus achieved the great success of seeing the Vaikuntha Lokas. And the Lord also by personal experience. No one can reach the abode of the Supreme Lord by any mechanical means of the mind or machine, but one can reach the abode of the Vaikuntha Lokas simply by following the process of Bhakti Yoga, because the Lord can be realized only through the Bhakti Yoga process. Lord Brahmaji was actually sitting on his lotus seat, and from there, by executing the process of Bhakti Yoga in great seriousness, he could see the Vaikuntha Lokas with all the varietedness, as well as the Lord in person and his associates. Following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, any person, even up to this day, can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahamsa, as recommended herein. Lord Chaitanya also approved of this method of self-realization for men in this age. One should first, with all conviction, believe in the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, and without making efforts to realize him by speculative philosophy, one should prefer to hear about him from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and later from the text of the Srimad Bhagavata. One should hear such discourses from a person, Bhagavatam, and not from the professional man or from the karmi, jnani or yogi. That is the secret of learning the science. One does not need to be in the renounced order of life. He can remain in his present condition of life, but he must search out the association of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and hear from him the transcendental message of the Lord with faith and conviction. That is the path of the Paramahamsa recommended herein. Amongst various holy names of the Lord, he is also called Ajita, one who can never be conquered by anyone else. Yet, he can be conquered by the Paramahamsa path, as practically realized and shown by the great spiritual master, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has personally recommended this Paramahamsa Panta in his own word as follows. Jnane prayasam udapasyanamanta eva jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiyavartam sthanestita shrutigatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayasho jita jitopi asita istrilokyam. Lord Brahma said, O my Lord, a devotee who abandons the path of empirical philosophical speculation aimed at merging into the existence of the Supreme and engages himself in hearing of your glories and activities from a bona fide sadhu or saint, and who lives an honest life in the occupational engagement of his social life, can conquer your sympathy and mercy even though you are ajita or unconquerable. Bhavatam 10.14.3. That is the path of the Paramahamsas, which was personally followed by Lord Brahma and later recommended by him for attaining perfect success in life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyana timirandasya gnanjana salakaya chakshuru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful humble obeisance unto him. I'll repeat the translation. Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart, and thus in full transcendental love and ecstasy, his eyes filled with tears of love, he thus bowed down before the Lord. That is the way of the highest perfection for the living being, Paramahamsa. So Lord Brahma was born surrounded by darkness from every direction. He was sitting in a lotus-like flower, and he was wondering, from where am I coming? Who is my origin? No? So he tried by direct experience to find out by gliding down to the stem of the lotus flower. But Lord Vishnu didn't want to reveal himself in that empirical, direct way. So he created huge waves from the Garbhodaka ocean, which frightened Brahma, so he had to climb back up again. And he was sitting there bewildered, you know, not knowing who I am, why I am here, who created me. He didn't know. Then he just heard that word, tapa. Being very intelligent, he immediately understood that my spiritual origin is telling me how to realize him, how to understand him by doing tapa, tapasya, which means austerity. Austerity. Austerity or tapasya means to accept voluntarily some uncomfort of the body or mind in order to advance in the spiritual life, in order to please the Lord. No? So, in that way, Brahma start meditating on the Lord without knowing his actual form. He didn't know how Krishna looks like. That wasn't revealed yet to him. But still, he focuses his mind on the origin of the sound vibration, and he focused on that meditation with love and faith and conviction for 100 celestial years of the demigods. I mean, one celestial years of the demigod is 365 years here in this planet, you know. So imagine 100 of those years. He had to meditate to achieve perfection. And when he finally achieved perfection, he developed his pure love for the Lord. The Lord decided to reveal himself to Brahma. So in the same lotus, Vaikuntha, all the planet Vaikuntha lokas were revealed to him. And he saw all the wonders of those wonderful Vaikuntha planets, you know. And he saw the goddess of fortune. He saw airplanes made of flowers flying with the inhabitants, singing the glories of the Lord. And finally he saw the Lord himself with his transcendental beauty and opulence. And when he had this wonderful vision, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy, with joy in his heart. And he felt so much love and ecstasy for the Lord, for the darshan, you know. His eyes were filled with tears of love. So feeling in that way overwhelmed, he bowed down before the Lord. And that's the way... Prabhupada said that's the way of the Paramahamsas, to achieve this perfection of having darshan of the Lord. Lord Brahma is the founder of our Sampradaya, no? Spiritual, the original founder of this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And it's so nice to hear that he's such a great, wonderful Vaishnava, that he achieved full success even before creating the material world. He was able to. And after Vaikuntha, actually the Lord revealed to him also Goloka. And that's why he later in the Brahma Samhita revealed about Goloka also. That wonderful information about the Lord of Goloka. So anyway, that's why when Krishna came to this planet, of course, demigods were very eager to see the pastimes of the Lord on earth, Brahma himself included. And when he saw that Krishna was mock fighting with his friend and being defeated by them, and he had to carry them, one of the boys on his shoulders, and he was eating from his own hand some fruit with yogurt mixed up there. And he became a little doubtful, you know, that is he the same Lord who created me, you know, full of opulence and majesty and, you know, and grandeur. And he's a little boy just playing with other boys and being defeated by them. And he's eating from his own hand a little. I mean, I have to put him to test, no? He thought. He thought in that way. So he decided to steal all the boys and calves. No? According to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Lord Brahma's intention was to take them to his own planet, Brahmalok. But of course, Krishna, he knows everything, he's omniscient. Krishna reached Brahmalok before him and took the form of Brahma himself and told the doorkeeper of the planet, there is a false Brahma around here. If he comes here, don't allow him to enter. I am the only Brahma. Yes, yes, of course. So when the real Brahma came with the boys and calves, he was not allowed to enter his own planet. So he had to come back to the earth planet. And that round trip took one earthly year, you know. So during that year, what happened? Krishna expanded himself and all the boys and calves. Nobody noticed. Not even Balaram noticed. Why Balaram didn't know? Because that day that pastime happened was his birthday. So Nanda Maharaj told Balaram, today is your birthday. You don't need to go to work on the pasturing ground with Krishna. You stay at home. Take rest today. And that day also happened the pastime of killing Agasurat. But nobody knew about it in Vrindavan because the boy didn't say anything. Krishna himself. So when Krishna expanded himself, he did it perfectly. You know, each and every boy, they have particular way of speaking, acting, and liking, disliking things. And even their mother didn't notice any difference at all. They noticed only one difference. And that was surprising to them, themselves. Because they suddenly realized that, okay, we love our children, of course, but we love Krishna more than our own children. But how surprising now that we love our children the same way we love Krishna. How wonderful is that? And Krishna is so kind and merciful. He wanted to satisfy the desire of all the mothers of Vrindavan because all of them wanted to have Krishna as their son. So Krishna, knowing their heart, he decided to please them, taking opportunity of Brahma's mischievous activity of testing Krishna. Not only the mothers, humans, but also the cows had the opportunity to have Krishna as their son, since Krishna became many calves. So, and Balaram was one day on the top of the Govardhan Hill, and overlooking everything, you know, the cows and everything, and suddenly a cow came down the hill with such a speed with her tail raised and her hoofs shocking each other, you know, like that, and running down. And as soon as she saw her calf, immediately start licking his body and put the other in his mouth so he can suck the milk. And was a grown-up calf. He didn't need milk anymore. He was taking grass, eating grass around. And Balaram was watching all this, you know. And then the coward man came to separate the cow from the calf. Being a little angry. And then they suddenly saw their children coming, who were Krishna. They forgot the cow. They went to their children. They smelled their heads and embraced them and cried with so much love, you know. So Balaram was watching all this with great surprise and happiness. Wow, what's happening in Vrindavan? There's so much extreme love I haven't seen before, you know. Something wonderful must be going around. And some say that at that time Krishna told his father Nanda Maharaj and mother Yashoda, all these boys are almost teenagers. They must get married. Okay, let's marry them to all the gopis. So there was a big marriage ceremony and Krishna married all the gopis.
Anyway, so Krishna fulfilled desires of everyone. Of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Krishna himself speaking, that this fool comes to me to serve me, asking me for poison, meaning material facilities, enjoyment, no? But I'm not going to give him poison. I'm going to give him nectar. Why should I give him poison? It's not good for him. So, in that way, we understand that to worship Krishna for material gain, material benefit, is foolish. It's foolish. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that if somebody, some beggar, go to a king and is able to ask, the king offer, ask me anything you want, and he just asks for a few coins, you know, it's a big, such a big foolish person, isn't it? So in the same way, I mean, Krishna can give us the greatest happiness and pure love of him, which is the greatest, highest achievement for all human beings, and just to ask for, you know, what people ask generally to God for? Three things. Health, money, and love. Mundane love. Not real love. Mundane love is actually lost. So-called love. But doesn't last for long if the sense gratification is not satisfying to any of them, then breaks down. It's not actual love. It's based on sense gratification. And that's why we see so many divorce nowadays, you know, everywhere, even amongst devotees. So if there is real love, you want to help the person spiritually and be a good partner, a good friend, you know, and work it together to please Krishna, you know, and the spiritual master, then there should be no divorce. Isn't it? But unfortunately, because of the Western mentality, you know, of sense gratification, we think that way only. No responsibility for a spiritual life. So anyway, then when Lord Brahma came, he put the boys and calves in a cave in the Govardhan Hill and blocked it with a big rock, you know. And he went to see the pasturing ground, what happened, you know, meanwhile. And he was so surprised to see the same boys and calves there. I mean, thousands of them, not few. So he then realized, Krishna, first he thought, from where all these boys and calves came? I am the only creator of this universe. Who else can create besides me? But then he became humble. He realized, Krishna defeated me. I tried to test his power, but he is much more powerful than me. So he went and fell down at Krishna's lotus feet and offering prayers. And then suddenly all the boys and calves took a form of Vishnu with four-armed hand and shining like many suns, you know. So and Brahma was losing consciousness in ecstasy and coming back and offering prayers again. Finally, Krishna made everything disappear and he was in front of him with a little yogurt and fruit in his hand, you know, with a stick for taking care of the cows. So Brahma was ashamed that he put to test. And he was offering prayers. But Brahma realized that he wasn't sure if Krishna accepted his prayers or not. Because Krishna was smiling, but he was silent. So Brahma decided, to be sure, Brahma decided to go to Navadvip. He knew that soon Lord Chaitanya will appear in this world. So he said, Lord Chaitanya will be much more merciful to me. So he was meditating on Lord Chaitanya and chanting the names of Gauranga for a long time. And when Lord Chaitanya was pleased with him, he appeared to him. And he blessed him. And offered the blessing. Brahma, I'm pleased with you. You ask me anything you want. So Brahma asked the boon of taking part in his pastimes. He said, my dear Lord, due to being the creator of this universe, I became puffed up and offended you. And I'm so busy in creating and this war because every night of Brahma, I mean, at the end of every day of Brahma, there is partial destruction of the universe. 3/4 of the universe is covered with water. So after he goes to sleep, when next morning he again is creating. Every day he has service to do for Krishna. So he's very busy, demigod. He wanted to take part in the Lord's pastime, you know, and Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So he prayed for that. But he asked, my dear Lord Gauranga, please give me a very humble position so I will not become proud again. Let me be a very, very menial servant. And so that's why he was born as Haridas Thakur. Once a devotee asked me this question, if Brahma became Haridas Thakur, who was there in Brahmalok? Brahma was absent from Brahmalok? I said, that's nothing, you know. Few years here in this earth planet is one moment in Brahmalok, you know. That is remind me of past time of how Lord Balaram got married to Revati. Her father, you know, was one of the Manus, and he went with his daughter to Brahmalok to speak with his grandfather, Lord Brahma. So, but when he arrived, he was told that Brahma is busy now hearing one concert of the Gandharvas, singing the glories of the Lord. So you have to wait. So he waited until the end of the concert. And then he was received. So he offered obeisance to Lord Brahma and explained the reason he came. He said, I have a list here of many kings and princes who want to marry my daughter Revati. But all of them very qualified, but please help me to choose one of them which will be the best for my daughter Revati. And Brahma started laughing like crazy. He couldn't stop laughing. And Manu said, this is a very serious matter. Please don't laugh, you know. It's very important for me. No, Brahma said, I'm laughing because all these people you're showing me, they are already dead. Not only them, all their descendants also. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all passed away. the few minutes you were hearing the concert, many yugas passed on earth, you know. Oh, so what should I do now, you know? Who can be the proper husband for my daughter? Say, oh, right now, Krishna and Balaram are appearing on the earth planet. Go there and offer your daughter to Balaram. She's his eternal consort. So that happened. Balaram accepted to marry Revati. But he was not happy with the marriage. You know why? Because she was from another yuga and she was much taller than him. So Brahma wasn't very comfortable with that situation. But he found a solution. With his plow, he put it on her shoulder and shrunk her to her size. Then he was satisfied with that way. Anyway, so the thing is, in order to achieve the Lord's mercy, as Lord Brahma did, we have to accept tapasya. Austerity, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, and engage them in the Lord's service. Material enjoyment and self-realization don't go hand by hand. The purpose of human life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. And that means we have to endeavor daily and to control our mind, fixing it on Krishna. if we do all service mechanically and our mind wandering here and there in any material subject, then what's the use? We are cheating ourselves, no? So we have to make a sincere, real effort to while chanting and hearing, remembering and doing any service we are doing, we have to focus our mind on it, you know? That's the secret. That's how Lord Brahma achieved success of seeing the Vaikuntha Loka, seeing the Lord. He focused with full conviction. Full conviction. So how we get this conviction? By hearing from a sadhu, a saintly person. Hearing with rapt attention. If we don't understand something, we don't need to accept blindly things. Unless we understand it, there is no acceptance. And if we don't understand, we shall keep hearing. We shall keep hearing. Prabhupada said that because he heard nicely from his Guru Maharaj, he learned to speak nicely too. And he said one incident happened, made him more even attentive to what his Guru is speaking. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to speak for a lecture 3 to 4 hours. Regularly, no less than 2. Even sannyasi will ask forgiveness to, we have some service to do, but Prabhupada will sit down, will not move. So when he was introduced by the temple president in Allahabad, Prayag, as a candidate for initiation, Bhakti Saraswati said, yes, this boy liked to hear very attentively. I will make him my disciple. So he appreciated that attention, rapt attention is very important to achieve success in a spiritual life. No, but there was one incident Prabhupada explained that happened, that he was sitting hearing his Guru Maharaj lecture, and one elderly Vaishnava sat next to him and whispered something in his ear. Babu, Abai, Babu. How long ago the lecture began? No? He asked that question. So Prabhupada just leaned his head toward him, his ear toward him, so he can hear what he's asking. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that and chastised both of them. He told the elderly Vaishnava, such and such, do you think that you bought me with your donation you give me? You don't need to hear me attentively anymore? He chastised him. And to Prabhupada, he told to Prabhupada, do you want to come here and give the lecture? He was very, you know, Simha Guru, very lion-like guru. Anyway, so Prabhupada after that became even more attentive to what his Guru Maharaj will say. So, what I was telling you before that, about the importance of attentiveness, in hearing. So, by attentive hearing, we understand the subject. When we understand the subject, we accept. When we accept, there is conviction. When there is conviction, we can put full attention. So, this thing go along together, step by step. Hearing with attentively, understanding, accepting the knowledge. When we accept, there is conviction. And when there is conviction, our attempting becomes full, sharper, you know. Chanting japa, reading, doing any service, we will do it with rapt attention and with feeling. That's very important. But very vital, you know, after practicing for some years Krishna consciousness, we shall develop some feeling for the Lord while doing service to him. I mean to say, you know, everybody has this love for Krishna in the heart, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, or Krishna Bhakti. It's there in the heart of everyone. We just need to clean the heart. To clean the heart, that's why Lord Chaitanya said, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Lord Chaitanya came to give everyone Krishna Prem. one may say, what is my share? I don't see it yet. I mean, I've been chanting for so many years, more, you know. And what is the prema that Lord Chaitanya promised to give everyone? When is going to happen? There is a small detail in there. Lord Chaitanya is more than eager to give it. But where are we going to receive it? What may say in our hand, please put it here in my hand. But prema is not solid, it's liquid. Transcendentally speaking. So it's not good recipient, the hand. Which will be the best recipient? Of course, the heart. But if the heart is full of dirty things, there is no space to put the prema there. If you want to drink water and the glass is full of dirt, you have to wash it first, clean it first. Then you drink the water nicely. In the same way, we have to clean our heart first in order to receive this Krishna prema. And Lord Chaitanya gave us the process how to clean faster the heart. You know what was that? Chanting with feeling. Feeling desperate. Feeling helpless. Feeling biraha. Feeling the separation of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya came to give that teaching. Feel separation from Krishna. Learn how to cry for Krishna. Not artificially, crocodile tears, but some feeling must be there because it's natural. Of course, if you really cry for Krishna even once, you will not cry for the material world ever again. That is the proof that your crying is genuine and not artificial. So, that's very important. Lord Chaitanya, he expressed this feeling to teach all the people. This reminds me of pastime of Prabhupada. Once he was preaching to some, politician in India, and he was mentioning, somebody gave Prabhupada the sandalwood statue of Krishna, beautiful statue, And Prabhupada gave it to Saraswati, the little girl, the daughter of Malati and Shamsundar. He gave it to her. Being a little child, she put it on the table and went to play, And Prabhupada was preaching to this man about the six Goswamis, how they were feeling separation from Krishna. Hey Radhe Brajadevi Ke Chalalite Inanda Shuno Kuta. Shri Govardhana Kalpa Padapatale Kalindi Vanekuta Goshantaviti Sarvato Brajapure Kedar Mahabibalo Bande Rupa Sanatana Ragujao Shri Jiva Gopalako. They were always searching for Radha and Krishna. Where are they? In the top of Govardhan Hill next to the Yamuna. They were always eager, searching for Krishna. Prabhupada said those who search for Krishna is as good as seeing Krishna because they are so eager. Anyway, Prabhupada was preaching to this man about that. And then something happened. Prabhupada took the statue and hid it behind his back. And then Saraswati came by looking for his Krishna. She didn't see it. So she started to cry. Where is my Krishna? Who took away my Krishna? Please give me my Krishna. And all the devotees will not say anything. They were silent, And this man was surprised, seeing this. And one devotee wanted to help her. So he asked her, Saraswati, who you think amongst us have Krishna? And she looked at all of them and said, Prabhupada has Krishna. And Prabhupada took the statue out of his bag and smiling gave it to her. So Prabhupada showed to this big man, even a child can cry for Krishna. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, to soften the heart, The heart is very hard, like a stone, That's what the Bhagavatam say. If you chant feelingly and you don't, your heart doesn't change, it means your heart is made of stone. But when Krishna was in Vrindavan walking there, sometime he climbed in a mountain, the stone will melt and his footprint will remain there. I've seen in my pilgrimage the footprint of Krishna here, there, some the other places. Even the stone will melt. Even Lord Chaitanya, I went to visit this Alalana temple. He fell flat in front of the deity. The stone melted. And still his figure is there carved in the stone. So much extreme love. So much heat from love and separation that even the stone melt. So we hope by hearing this wonderful pastimes of the Lord, our heart melt a little bit and we can chant with some feeling, you know, of separation, you know. And this biraha, the more intensified become, burns away all our material desires, all ahankara, or false identification of the body will be burned. That's the process of coming to the stage of the Paramahamsa. No? To burn away all material desires and hankering and lamentation and just become eager to receive the mercy of the Lord. That's the process. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak about this wonderful Krishna concept Prabhupada brought us to out of his kindness and extreme mercy. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So any comment, questions? If there is time, of course, maybe one or two. I don't know. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you. Haribo. All right. Very good. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.